Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in 1 Chronicles chapter 17. Now, today we're going to focus on building houses, and that is because that's what the chapter focuses on. Well, sort of. It starts off with a discussion about building a physical house for God, but morphs into a discussion about the building of a household or a dynasty. In this chapter, David tells God he wants to build him a house, and God says, "That's cute, David. How about this? I'll build your house because of your desire to build mine." Let's read the passage. After David was settled in his palace, he said to Nathan the prophet, "Here I am, living in a house of cedar, while the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord is under a tent." Nathan replied to David, "Whatever you have in mind, do it, for God is with you." But that night, the word of God came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. You are not the one to build me a house to dwell in. I have not dwelt in the house from the day I brought Israel up out of Egypt to this day. I have moved from one tent site to another, from one dwelling place to another. Wherever I have moved with all of the Israelites, did I ever say to any of their leaders whom I commanded to shepherd my people, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture, from tending your father's flock, and appointed you ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone. I have cut off all your enemies from before you. Now, I will make your name like the names of the greatest men on earth, and I will provide a place for my people Israel and will plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people will not oppress them anymore, as they did at the beginning and have done ever since the time I appointed leaders over my people Israel. I will also subdue all your enemies. I declare to you that the Lord will build a house for you. When your days are over and you go to be with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, one of your own sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for me, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. I will never take my love away from him as I took it away from your predecessor. I will set him over my house and my kingdom forever. His throne shall be established forever." Nathan reported to David all the words of the entire revelation. Now, David understands that although he's talking about his son, he's really talking about his descendant, the seed, the one promised way back in Genesis in the proto-evangelion, the proto-gospel. That Jesus, the one who would come, who would crush the serpent's head. And when God says, your son, your offspring, he knows that he's not just talking about Solomon. Here, God is telling him, I am going to establish a throne that lasts forever. And Solomon's throne didn't. In fact, before the Bible's finished, we see that Solomon's throne is chipped away stone by stone and melted down to get the gold out of it. Therefore, the throne that God is talking about here is the one spoken of in Daniel, the eternal throne, that the future ruler of not only Israel, but the world will occupy. Here God tells David the Messiah is going to come through him, that David could only build him a physical house, but that one was coming, the Messiah, who would actually build God's eternal household. That's the house I want, David, and only he can build it. Now, remember, when Jesus told the disciples, I go and prepare a place for you, he was saying, I'm going to build the house in heaven, the dwelling place of God, which cannot be built by human hands, Hebrews says. God's household, and you and I are a part of it. We're told in verse 15 that Nathan reports to David all the words of this entire revelation. Now, David's prayer in response is amazing, and I have to confess, of all the prayers in the Bible, this one floors me, perhaps because David himself is floored. This is the response of a man who has just been told he's going to be the great, 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 add a few more of those, grandfather of Jesus, the Messiah, the eternal King of the universe. kind of a big deal. So David goes in and sits before the Lord in verse 16 and prays, "Who am I, Lord God, and what is my family, that you have brought me this far? And if this were not enough in your sight, my God, you have spoken about the future of the house of your servant. You, Lord God, have looked upon me as though I were the most exalted of men. What more can David say to you for honoring your servant? For you know your servant, Lord. For the sake of your servant and according to your will, you have done this great thing and made known all these great promises. There is no one like you, Lord. There is no God but you, as we have heard with our own ears, and who is like your people Israel, the one nation on earth whose God went out to redeem a people for himself and to make a name for yourself and to perform great and awesome wonders by driving out nations from before your people whom you redeemed from Egypt. You made your people Israel your very own forever, and you, Lord, have become their God. And now, Lord, let the promises you have made concerning your servant and his house be established forever. Do as you promised, so that it will be established and that your name will be great forever. Then people will say, 'The Lord Almighty, the God over Israel, is Israel's God,' and the house of your servant David will be established before you. You, my God, have revealed to your servant that you will build a house for him. So your servant has found courage to pray to you. You, Lord, are God. You have promised these good things to your servant. Now you have been pleased to bless the house of your servant that it may continue forever in your sight. For you, Lord, have blessed it, and it will be blessed forever." Do you notice in that David isn't concerned even about his own name? Even there, he's more concerned that the name and fame of God would last forever. This is a man who is truly in love with God and not so in love with himself. In fact, in the parallel passage in the book of Samuel, David says, "Who is your servant that you, God, would look upon such a dead dog as I?" I don't know if you've ever felt that way before. Like, I'm just a dead dog. I'm gross. I'm stinky. I'm mangy. I need to be scraped off the ground and thrown away and burned. But David is so in love with God here, and you hear it in his voice. You hear it in his words. He's saying, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and never forget the glorious things he's done for thee." Did you know that that's where worship comes from? The next time you feel like you can't worship God because you feel like a dead dog, just remember, worship is fueled by what God has done for you, not by who you are or what you can do for God. Worship is all about God. And this God looks upon dead dogs like you and I and says, "I'm blessed that you want to build me a house, but I want to build you a house. The only one who can build a house for me and put you in it is my son, and I will be his father. And because of him, I'll be yours." Well, that's 1 Chronicles chapter 17. Join me again tomorrow as we continue our journey through the Word.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. We're listener supported, so thanks for giving. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.